I've asked Brother Wissam Elrabadi, our youth pastor, to come, and he's going to introduce some young people. I've asked some of our seniors that went to camp this last week to share with us some brief words of testimony of God's work in their life. So I'm going to have him come and just kind of introduce that, and then we're going to listen to them in rapid succession, okay?
Well, I hope you're having a good night tonight. We had a great week last week. We weren't cutting church. We were actually in church every night, so I think you'd be very pleased with that. But it was a very special week, and what I found was when folks were comparing this year to last year, they came to grips with this thought, that each camp has its own personality. If I were to just sum up this camp in just a few words, I would say back to core Christianity, core principles. And I think that's what you're going to find when you hear some of these testimonies. So I'll ask some of our young people to come up now. And some of the decisions that they made this week, they range from the correct kind of music to just a devotion to the Lord to even appropriate usage when it comes to social networking. So it was a very special camp, and I'm excited for you to hear some of our young people.
Hi, I'm Elena, and this was my fourth year at teen camp. And every year it seems like there's that one message that everyone remembers. Seems like there's that one message that people still talk about months later, a year later, where everyone goes forward and makes a big decision. And this year was a little bit different. It wasn't like that. This year, after almost every single message, the altar and the aisles were all flooded with teens and adults praying together and all making decisions, and it was just the coolest thing to see God work in every single service. But there were two messages in particular that stood out to me this week. The first one was called, it was entitled, Alone with God, and Pastor Jody Jenkins really emphasized the need for teens and adults alike to all have a personal walk with God, a really intimate relationship with Him. And not only that, but then later in the week, there was a morning class where they not only further encouraged us to continue a walk with God, but they also gave us kind of advice on how to develop a devotional life. And I think it was cool. My favorite part about that is I don't think that the people that set up the morning classes knew that Pastor Jenkins was going to be preaching on that week. And so it was just so cool to see how God put that together. And then the second message was entitled, I Beg You. And in that message, he really emphasized the need for total and complete surrender to God, really giving over every aspect of your life to Him. And about a little over a year and a half ago, I surrendered to full-time ministry, and the Lord used that message to get me to go forward and just reaffirm that decision. And so it was just, that was my favorite message. And to everyone that gave financially to for someone to go to camp, even if you didn't know who your money went to, thank you. I want you to know that your money was not wasted. Every single person that was there watched God work all week. And so, in conclusion, I would like to leave you with a quote that Pastor Jenkins gave us in his message on surrender. He said, if we don't trust Him in all, then we don't trust Him at all. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Amber Mack, and last year at camp, I made some very significant decisions. I promised to get more involved in my church, and I did. I promised to put more emphasis on soul winning, and praise God, I did. I got to witness to many people in both my school and work. I also promised to purge worldly music from my life. Again, I did. And the most important one was on Thursday night, I promised to surrender my life to my Maker. And I have kept all of these decisions. And so this year, I was a little disappointed. I didn't have that one big decision that I had to make. I just had some little tweaks here and there, some little things like that. It just encouraged me to keep going. And it just, I have a verse that Pastor Jody Jenkins said in one of the messages. It reminded me of, he encouraged me to have patience and just keep waiting on the Lord and see what He has in store for me. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to sin. neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy thine or the work of thine hands? So the things, the promises I've made in the past, they're not errors. And if you've made a promise in the past, you need to keep it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if it was tiny or like, I just need to spend 5 extra minutes in devotions. Or if it was like, I'm going to be a missionary. And if you were, if you're in a service and you see everyone else standing, this is what made me really convicted. I saw everyone else around me standing. I didn't know what was wrong. And just, then I realized I didn't need to make any major decisions. I just needed to keep slowly growing and just keep working at the decisions I had previously made. And so that's all. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Austin, and I had the opportunity to go to camp this year. And last year, a lot of us made like the same decisions, and everyone remembers that Thursday night message, how it was just so impactful in all of our lives. And all of the teens, they made their decisions. They were really on fire for it. But I know that I'm guilty of this, and most, if not almost all of us, were also guilty. We would keep up with them for about, I don't know, a couple months, and then we just slowly start to slack. And then eventually we just went back to how we were before we went to camp that year. And that was really disappointing. And then we all went to camp this year, and I believe it was Tuesday night. I came into that service, and I thought, please don't preach about music. Please don't preach about music. I came in there, sure enough, preaches about music. And last year, I would struggle with the wrong kind of music. I loved it. It didn't seem to bother me, but it's really influential on your life, more than you think. Because I would listen to music that would have bad words in them, and then I would start saying those words, and it would just be all normal to me. And when I heard that message Tuesday night, it really hit me hard because I made the promise not to go back to that. I kept telling myself not to go back to it. I knew it was wrong, yet I still went back to it. And I reaffirm that decision to go back to music that is glorifying to Him. And that doesn't make me fall as a Christian. And another message he preached on was procrastination. And I know a lot of us struggle with procrastination. It's just so natural for us to do that. And it, not just in Christian things, more secular things. We all would just put them off like, oh, okay, I can do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes, I'll do it the next day. Next day comes. You know how it goes. It really hit me because I would say, oh, okay, I'll read my Bible, just get it over with, or I can do it tonight. I don't feel like doing it in the morning. And then eventually I just stop. And after hearing that message, it really encouraged me to get back and to do it, not just to check off the list, like, hey, I do my devotions. I'm doing them now so that it can benefit me. And I encourage all of you to do the same, not just to do it to check it off the list, but to do it and actually get something out of it. And this week, like they said, it wasn't just one message that spoke to us. All week, it was a series of messages that spoke to us in different areas and just helped us grow as Christians and to keep our promises that we made and not to hold back any keys that the Lord may need. I encourage you, if any of us, any of our teens made any decisions, I really hope that we all stick to it and keep each other accountable for them. And thank you.
Hi, I'm Madeline Bork, and this was my second year at camp. As many of you heard, the message last year that was extremely powerful was called Thursday Night, the Sermon, or as was known like that. This year, however, all of the sermons were equally powerful. Each night, the Lord gave me something in particular to learn from, and I'm so glad that He did. Two of the messages that spoke to me were Christian criminals and alone with God. And Christian Criminals, Brother Jenkins, talked about how Christians who forbear to deliver the gospel to the lost and how that is wrong. A quote that I wrote down from the message was, "The only thing we can't do in heaven that we can do on earth are sin and soul win. Which one do you think God left us on earth to do?" This spoke to me because I work on a bus route, and most of the time I have a bad attitude, especially for visitations on Saturday. Who wants to get up at 10 o'clock in the morning when you could sleep until 12? So I'm just glad that he taught me that, and the least I can do is have a good attitude on Saturdays and on Sunday mornings for bus. The other message that spoke to me was alone time with God. Brother Jenkins talked about the privilege we have to spend time with God every day. Before camp, I did my Bible study just to check it off the list, but when Brother Jenkins gave this message, the Lord encouraged me and said, checking off the list isn't good enough. You need to make a decision to get up every morning, purpose to do your Bible study, and focus on what you're reading. If we do what God says, he will bless us, and each morning he will show us something new that we need to learn. I'm glad I had the opportunity to go to camp, and your prayers are much appreciated. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Alligood, and this is either my fourth or fifth year at camp, and every year has been such a blessing to me. But I feel like the past 2 years have been the most moving, I guess. I don't really know what the word is. But last year, like everyone else said before me, that there was a Thursday night message when the altars were flooded and everybody was making decisions for God. And like they also said, every night was like that. Was like that this year, and it was really great to see the people from my youth group and the people that I had made friends with over the past couple years at camp from different churches all kneeling around me almost every service, just making different decisions for God. And there were two messages that really stuck out to me. The one was about surrendering everything to God. Elena mentioned it before. And this one, last year I had surrendered my life to missions or to full-time Christian service. I wasn't exactly sure which one God is calling me to, but I just surrendered my life. And I had kind of fallen back on that decision a little bit, and I was just kind of like, if it happens, it happens. And I was just kind of holding some stuff back from God that might prevent him from being able to use me. And this year, he had the message of surrendering everything, all the keys that you have in your pocket. And he's the example. He pulled out a watch but told us to pretend that it was a key ring and said, throw all your keys to God, and just to be safe, throw the key ring too. Give it all to him. And that really spoke to me because I am a very stubborn person and a very prideful person, and I'd always been very proud of how stubborn I was, and I felt like I knew that was something that was kind of preventing God from being able to use me. And this year I knelt with Mrs. Bork that night, and I kind of gave it all to him. I said, take my stubbornness, take my pride, and just do whatever you want with me. And I kind of re-surrendered my life. I don't know. And then there was the Friday night message too, which was entitled Bitter Waters. And at first when he said that, I was like, oh great, this is going to be about bitterness. I've heard that message so many times. But I was actually wrong. It was about the children of Israel when they were walking in their wilderness and they needed water, and they came across the river, lake, Mara, whatever it is, and it was bitter, and God told them to throw the tree in, and the water was sweet again. And he kind of talked about how you'll go through bitter circumstances in your life where it's like a bitter water, and it's bad times, and you're going through the fire, and you're struggling, and you're being hurt by everything. And for those of you who don't know, right now is bitter waters for my family with everything that's happening with my sister and just different circumstances. And Mr. Jenkins didn't know that. Some people in the youth group didn't know that. But I knew God knew that, and God knew that I needed that message. And I loved how he stressed God is bigger than our problems. God is bigger than any problems that my family is having right now. And he's bigger than any problems that you're having right now. And I love that message. I feel like that message really kind of closed the week off, because everything was about giving things up, just kind of growing closer to him. And then that's the last message that he gave us on, after you've kind of grown closer, you're going to go through the bitter waters, because the devil will attack you. And the devil started attacking us on the bus ride home with everyone being frustrated and annoyed and tired. and just different things, the devil will attack you for after camp. He stressed that. And he's like, so if you're not going through bitter waters now, you will maybe when you get home. And I just love that he ended the week with that message. And honestly, it was such an amazing week. And I loved going with this youth group. They're all so amazing. And I loved getting to grow closer with them and just seeing God work over that camp. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Brian, and 2 years ago I went to Kenya, Africa to see Brother Robert Mekki, and that trip changed my life. But on that trip, the Lord really stressed on my heart missions, and I really just ignored that for a long time. And this past missions conference, the Lord really put a love for missions on my heart, and so I'm reaffirming that decision for missions for my life. And so going into this year at camp, this is my second year, I was looking for a good message about soul winning or missions, and the one that he preached was called Christian Criminals, and that really slapped me in the face because I don't soul win as much as I should. Yeah, I go out on Saturdays for bus visitation, but that's the only time of the week I go, and I was really ashamed of that. And in his message, he mentioned, or he gave an illustration, and he said, it was an illustration about someone in a burning building. And he said the only difference between that burning building and hell is that burning building has windows. You can't escape hell. You're there forever. And so that really hit me because we don't witness as much as we should, and really, if we don't witness to people and then go and they die and go to hell, they're there forever, and that's something that we shouldn't want for people. And so that message really encouraged me just to be a better witness and have a better heart for missions and just keep witnessing for the Lord. And that number that Pastor mentioned, 1.3 million people, all those people, I was down there today, I was down there myself, but all those people are so passionate. If we were that passionate for the Lord, this nation would be changed. And so I just want to encourage all you to be better witness for the Lord.
If you have your Bibles tonight, I invite you to take them. And let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I appreciate these young people and their willingness to testify tonight of what the Lord did in their hearts and in their lives during the week of camp. And having been there with them, I can assure you that it was a marvelous week. God met with us. It was an unusual week, as they alluded to. Last year's camp, we had one specific service in which God really broke through. And that didn't happen until Thursday night. And almost from the outset, from basically Monday night on, we saw amazing results. And I was so pleased with that. I obviously want God to do whatever it is He wants to do, but I certainly am grateful when He works a little earlier in the week and when our young people give Him the opportunity to work a little bit earlier in the week, and I'm grateful for that. I want to kind of continue this camp theme, and this will be a brief message tonight. And I want to ask the question to those of you that perhaps maybe you had young people that came back from camp, and or perhaps maybe you rub shoulders with some of our young people and they come back a little different than they left. I want to ask the question, why is that? And what can be learned from a week of camp that can help us, not just that one week in the summer, but can help us all the year through? And I want us to look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 14, we'll read down through verse number 18. And I want to share with you some reasons why I believe camp is so successful and so helpful to our young people in their Christian lives. Notice the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Notice verse number 17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And in many respects, verse number 17 is played out for 1 week in the lives of our young people, and even the lives of our adults who go, in which we come out from among the world for 1 week's time, and we're separate from all of those things. And we hear messages, challenging, stirring messages, and lessons that are taught, and just an overall spiritual atmosphere. Is it any wonder that when we return, we're different? Now, God has met with us. Bill Rice III gave this acronym for the word camp. And of course, he is the gentleman who for many years oversaw the Bill Rice Ranch. His son, Will the Fourth, now is the director of the camp. But they give this acronym. It says, camp is this, a controlled atmosphere for the ministry of preaching. Let me say that again. Camp is a controlled atmosphere for the ministry of preaching. And I believe camp successfully accomplishes this because, again, as we mentioned a moment ago, this idea of a controlled atmosphere. Why is it that these young people that you've heard from tonight and many others that we did not have time to share all of their testimonies, now why is it that they can hear the same messages or similar messages preached throughout the year by their youth director and by their pastor and by evangelists that come through here? They hear the exact same sermons or similar sermons preached with just as much fervor and just as much passion and desire, and yet there's something about a teen camp in which, man, where the altars are flooded and kids are making decisions. I mean, what is it that we're doing so differently there, or what is it that we're doing perhaps so differently here in which it's not working as well, or the decisions are not as prevalent or not as common? Is there a key difference that is at play? And if we could duplicate what happens at camp, would we be fools not to do so? Now, in other words, we send our young people off and we encourage them, hey, get right with God. And they come back and they're right with God. And yet then we allow them to go right back into the same life that they once lived. And then we wonder, well, what happened? Why did they go back on those decisions? What key things could we have done that could have helped us in this realm? Now, obviously, I'm not advocating that we sell everything that we have and form some Christian camp or commune for us all to live in, that we might enjoy a camp meeting atmosphere every single day of our lives. Obviously, this is that would be a foolish thing to do, and it's certainly not practical. However, there are some things that we can do to help us to come out from among them and be separate. And listen, there's a promise attached. If we'll do that, the Bible states, God will receive us and will be a father unto us. So let me just share some simple thoughts of what we've done tonight. Number one, I want you to consider, I believe that camp is successful, first of all, because of what is missing. There are some things that are not at camp that perhaps are here that maybe helps these young people to hear the message a little differently. Perhaps will help them to listen a little bit harder and to give thought, maybe a little bit more thought and consideration to what they're hearing. We say, well, what's not there that is here? Well, for the most part, all of the worldly influences for that 1 week are gone. Worldly friends, worldly entertainment, even their lost friends who are unsaved, all of these things that you and I would associate with things that would be worldly influences are gone. All of these things sometimes cause us to be unequally yoked depending on how close we allow ourselves to get to them. Now, I'm all for balance, and I would anticipate that every single one of us, and I would even hope that all of you have some lost friends in this building tonight. I mean that sincerely. I hope that you've developed some friendship with some people who are lost, who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And why would we develop those friendships? So that we might have an opportunity to influence them for the cause of Christ. In other words, I would hope that as I'm standing here in front of you, you can think of maybe two or three, maybe even four or five names of people that you know that are lost, that are on their way to hell, and you're friends with them, you have a relationship with them, and perhaps maybe you're praying for them regularly, you've got a burden for them. I would hope all of us have that going on in our lives. So I'm not saying that we ought to just dismiss all of these people from our lives and so that we can be more Christ-like and so that we can be in this type of an environment. However, understand we must be guarded in how much involvement and influence they are allowed to have over us. We've got to be very careful about that. You have to be able to have some discernment to say, yeah, I have these friendships, I have these relationships, but my closest friendships, my most coveted and special friendships are with those that know the Lord as their Savior. Again, this idea, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so we think about this, and we understand that as these young people come to camp, for the most part, they're saying goodbye. For 1 week's time, they're saying goodbye to those influences. And they get alone with God, as we heard the message preached that week, and God does some unusual things. Now understand, most of us participate in worldly entertainment as well. Not only do we have worldly influences by way of friends, but most of us participate in worldly entertainment. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I just simply mean any type of television would be considered worldly, I suppose. If you go to a ball game, if you enjoy sports, or perhaps maybe you went downtown today, that certainly is a form of worldly entertainment. If you visit a restaurant and you hear perhaps music that's playing in that restaurant, or you're around things that we would consider to be of the world, understand, I don't think it's possible for us to completely cut all of those things out of our lives. And these things may not necessarily be wrong, but they might not necessarily be edifying either. And so we've got to be very, very careful. And we've got to place ourselves in a position where we are not so overwhelmed by all of the worldly influences that are out there. And so stepping away from these things from time to time, and perhaps maybe even fasting from them, can be a help to us spiritually. In many respects, these young people had that opportunity, and you just heard the results of young people who stepped away from worldly influences for a week and what God was able to do in their lives. Number two, not only is worldly influences missing, and I suppose this is along the same lines, but I think it deserves a category all to its own. There's another thing that's missing in the week of camp, and that's the word technology. We live in a technological day and age, and yet for 1 week, most of these young people, they're in what we would call a position of detox. I mean, thumbs are twitching and they're kind of moving all around like this because they don't have their cell phone at their side like they normally do at every moment of their lives. They don't have their tablets and their other electronic devices. There's no earbuds in their ears, and they don't have a mouse in their hands or a remote control in their hands changing the channel. And it's amazing how much noise these things create that we don't even realize. No cell phones, music, tablets, computers, and internet access are a very, very good thing every once in a while for these young people. And I would take it a step further and say it's a very good thing for us every once in a while as well. And I would recommend and encourage not just that we would say to our young people, hey, you know, you need a break from that, but perhaps maybe we ought to be convicted enough to say, hey, I need a break from this as well. I think I might need to take a step back and perhaps turn off the TV for a week, or perhaps shut down the iPad for a week, or shut down the Facebook account, or whatever it is that we get so close to. And when we get those things out of our lives, all of a sudden we can hear God a little bit clearer. And so camp is successful, I believe, because of what's missing. But I would say also, number two, camp is successful because of what is present. Obviously, you've heard from these young people. They didn't talk about the games, although we played plenty of games. Now, they didn't talk about the laughs. They didn't even talk about the music necessarily of camp. What did they talk about? They talked about the preaching. And what is present at camp is Bible preaching and teaching each and every day. Now look, the vast majority of churchgoers that you talk to would probably tell you that they're closest to God on Sunday. I'm talking about marginal church attenders. You know, yeah, I go to church every single week. Well, what day do you feel closest to God? Well, I feel closest to God on Sunday. Well, why is that? Well, because I went to his house. I heard the Bible opened and preached and taught and communicated. And so that's why I feel closest to God on Sunday. If you were to ask the question, well, what day do you feel furthest away from God? I'm guessing that many of them would say, well, Friday or Saturday. The weekend where there's not as much structure and the work week is over and I've carried all of those burdens through and it's been 5 or 6 days since I've heard a Bible message. And so I find myself maybe letting my guard down more on Friday night or Saturday night than I do any other day of the week. I'm furthest away from God on those days. Closest to God on the day in which I'm hearing the preaching. Furthest away from God when I've been far enough away from preaching where it no longer affects me. So at camp, these young people are getting 3 Bible messages and lessons a day. You say, man, that sounds miserable. I can't believe these kids would want to go. Well, you talk to them tonight after the service, they'll tell you it's anything but miserable. It's great. We love it. You know what I've learned? I've learned that teenagers love good, hard preaching from the Word of God. I've learned that. We're living in a day and age in which we're convinced, or we have been convinced that by the world and by worldly Christianity that, you know, you just can't preach hard to teenagers nowadays. Man, I was in the youth ministry for 14 years. I was there all last week, and I can tell you nothing could be further from the truth. Now, without question, you're going to have some rebellious young people and who are going to sit there and have a frown on their face and a scowl. They're not going to move no matter what happens. But the vast majority of the young people that I've ministered to and ministered with and have been under me, I've witnessed them as their hearts are broken as they hear godly preaching from the Word of God. And so why is camp successful? Because of what's present, Bible preaching and teaching. But also, number two, because of positive influence from spiritual leaders. For a solid week, The youth director isn't someone that they see, but it's actually someone they live with and have opportunity to see him up close and get to know him more closely. They're eating meals together. They're playing ball together. They're sitting in church together. They're counseling together. And not just the youth director, but other youth leaders and various folks in our church that we feel like, hey, man, this is someone we want to have some influence over our people. And in spite of what you think of Brother Wissam, I assure you this is still a good thing. That positive spiritual influence that he and the others are able to exert over our young people ends up being a tremendous blessing. You know, our kids see enough hypocrisy in the world, don't they? And they see enough hypocrisy sometimes even in the church, sometimes even in our own lives. It's good for them to be influenced positively by someone who is living what they're teaching and what they're preaching. And I think thirdly, it's positive and successful not only because of Bible preaching and teaching and positive influence from spiritual leaders, but positive influence from peers as well. You know, one of the biggest reasons teens shy away from serving God with their whole heart is a fear of being the only one doing so. I don't want to be the only one. Look, we all deal with peer pressure. I've noticed a huge dramatic shift in peer pressure from what the teens are dealing with to what adults are dealing with. I think all of us have some level of peer pressure. I would do that if somebody else would join me, if somebody else would stand there with me, but I don't want to be the only single one. And that's what's so positive about going to camp as we get there and they're around other godly young people who are singing godly songs and carrying their Bible and unashamed. And hey, man, this person, they live 3 hours from me. There are people 3 hours from me that love the Lord and are serving the Lord. We're not the only one in the whole world who are doing this. And that's a positive. Now, that's a blessing for them to develop friendships from people all around the state and even in some other states that come and are participants in camp and to realize, hey, I'm not the only one. And so there's that positive peer pressure. So let me just share with you a few practical thoughts and I'll be done. Number one, can I say this? No matter how old your child is, they still need your help to monitor the worldly distractions of life. Let me say that again. No matter how old your young person is, they still need your help to monitor the worldly distractions of life. You know, many of you have seen the help your young person has received by simply being disconnected from some of the things that we talked about earlier. They came back and they were different and you had to ask the question, what happened to you? What's different? Is it any wonder that shutting off the phone and shutting off the apps and shutting off the television, shutting off the music for a week made some positive differences in the lives of your young people? And why in the world we allow them to go right back into those things? When we see the change that God has made when we get them disconnected from those things. And maybe your young person should enjoy that just a little bit more often. I use the term enjoy loosely because I'm sure that probably some of your young people might give a little resistance to that. But after all, you're still the parent. And let me encourage you to consider some of these things. Number two, let me give another practical thought. We need more church, not less. We need more church, not less. We're living in a day and age in which in many Christian homes today, there's this thought that seems to be prevailing that less church attendance is in order in 2016. I mean, you just look around you and you realize, I saw a statistic, I believe it was for 2015. I think, if I remember correctly, somewhere in the neighborhood of 16% of churches, only 16% of churches in 2015 any longer have a Sunday night service. In other words, about 80% or more of the churches in America today have completely abandoned a Sunday night service altogether. And I'm sure there's a myriad of reasons for that. I'm sure maybe some churches have gone to a cottage type of a meeting where we're meeting in different places, and so our people are still getting that spiritual edification, that sort of thing. But I guarantee there's a lot of churches, I've read the articles, I've heard the pastor speak, and they've said stuff like this: well, we just can't get people to come back on Sunday night. So why should we turn on all the lights, and why should we do all the work, and why should I prepare a message when, you know, we have thousands on Sunday morning or hundreds on Sunday morning, and we just have a handful on Sunday night? And look, in spite of what is happening around the world and around our country and churches, that may be the prevailing thought in the vast majority of Christianity today, but that's not at all what the Bible teaches. Now, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25 that we need more church, even so much the more as you see the day approaching.
This is not a time for us to sit out services and to take services off, but this is the time to have even more services. This is the time to hear more preaching and more teaching from the Word of God. And I think camp is so successful because these young people are hearing the Word of God every single day over and over and over again. And I propose to you today that we need more church and not less. Can I say number three? We need our spiritual leaders to be spiritual. If you hold a position of leadership in the life of some of these young people, they are counting on you for guidance. They're counting on you for forgiveness, and they're counting on you for leadership. You're a Sunday school teacher today. You're a youth worker. You're a parent. You're a grandparent. Hey, look, they need you to step up to the plate. They need you to be the spiritual leader that they think you are or they think you're supposed to be. Number four, you and I need to be very involved in who we allow to influence our children. There's a prevalent parenting philosophy today that allows teens to pretty much raise themselves once they reach a certain age. And I don't know that that age has been necessarily defined, but I see it even in our circles sometimes where a kid reaches the age of ninth grade or perhaps maybe he's got his driver's license now and it's like, okay, there you go, it's all yours. Man, I wished my parents would have parented me that way when I was that age. I'm thankful they didn't at this age. Because I realize how immature I was and how many stupid decisions I would have made. Now, I've told you this before. I've told our teenagers this hundreds of times. The night before I got married, my dad said, you better be home at a certain point in time or you're going to be in trouble. And what are you going to do, you know? But he was serious about it. And I still had that fear of him. And I was home by that. I was home by that time. I promise you that. Do you know, I already had an apartment. I mean, I had already severed all my ties. Man, I was paying my own bills, and he still said, you're spending this night in my house. You better be home by this point in time, or you're going to be in trouble. And I don't know what he would have done. Maybe he would have called off my wedding or something. I don't know, but you know, you need to be very involved in your young person's life. And just because they've got their driver's license now, or perhaps just because they've gone off to college, and yet when they're home, hey, you still have a responsibility. They're still living under your roof. They still have to obey your rules. And they still need to live a life that is pleasing to you and pleasing to the Lord. And then lastly, number five or six or whatever it is, God is longing for a deeper relationship with all of us. James 4:8, the Bible says, you draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Now, I believe that this week was successful because these young people drew nigh to the Lord. And they got some things out of their lives. There were some things that were missing, and there were some things that were present. And God used all of those circumstances, and God produced a great result in the hearts and lives of these young people. And God still longs for intimacy with you and me, and I believe camp provides a greater opportunity for that. But it's available, listen, it's available to anyone who is willing to pay the price to achieve it. In other words, you don't have to go to camp to get on fire for God. You don't have to go to camp to hear from the Lord. You can hear from God tonight here in this place. You don't have to go to camp to get some things out of your lives. You can just be a discerning adult, discerning person, and say, hey, look, this is not helping me. This is hurting me, and I'm going to remove these things from my life. And may God help us to perhaps take more of these thoughts from a week of camp and maybe implement some of those things into our lives and into our homes and into the lives of our marriages and in the lives of our children to help us to draw closer to the Lord, for he certainly is longing for a deeper intimate relationship with us. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for what you did in the hearts and lives of our young people. Now, Lord, bless us as we move into this final portion of the service. And Lord, may your name be glorified as we spend a few moments with you, we pray in Jesus' name.